you, choir, and good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome each one to our service tonight, especially those that may be listening by means of radio. I'm sure that as you stay tuned, your hearts will be blessed. The service tonight is coming from the Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel here in Spanish Wells, Bahamas. Let us rise and sing number 7 in the carol hymn books, O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim. Number 7. For that good singing, and now we're going to ask our brother Grover Pinder to open the service in prayer.
Let us pray. Our Father, tonight we thank Thee for the privilege of being able to gather once again in this way, that we may listen to Thy word as it is brought forth. Our Father, we pray tonight that Thou would be with our brother as he stands to bring the message. We pray that every word that is spoken may be spoken as if it were through the Spirit Himself. Again tonight, our Father, we pray that as we listen, that those of us that know Thee as their personal Savior, that our hearts may be uplifted, and those that know Thee not, may they be convicted unto salvation tonight. Our Father, as Thy word goes forth, we may pray that it may suit every heart that is listening. Too, tonight, our Father, we thank thee most of all for the Lord Jesus, that he did come down to this earth and there go to the cross to bear the sins of the whole world on his body. Father, we thank thee most of all for this, especially now as we come towards the season of Christmas. Too, tonight, our Father, we think of those that would have liked to have been out to the service, some that are detained through illness or some other reason. We pray that thou would be with them, everyone, that thou would restore them to their health and strength, those that are sick, those that are attending the sick. We pray that thou would bless them and give them courage at this time. We think tonight again of our Father, of those of our men that are over the high seas. We pray that thou would be with them, that thou would protect them at this time. We think too of the message that may go forth throughout the Bahama Islands tonight and throughout the whole world. We pray that you may get the praise, honor, and glory from it all. Our Father, too, we think of some that are having problems with drug and alcohol. We pray that thou would be with them. If it be thy dear and holy will, that thou would bring them down, and may they come to realize that it is only you that can cure their problem. We pray for those of the parents of these ones that are having problems. We pray that thou would strengthen them tonight. And now, our Father, we turn the remainder of this service into thy hands, and we pray that everything that is said, sung, or done may be done to thy praise, honor, and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Grover. And right now we're going to be favored with a ladies' quartet, Mary's Boy Child. Thank you, ladies. At this time, I'd like to remind you of the announcements for the week. Tomorrow evening at 7:30 will be the young people's service. And then on Tuesday, at 7:30 will be our ministry service. On Thursday will be our prayer and ministry, and on Friday, the youth service. The speaker for these meetings will be our brother evangelist, Luton Neely, and I'm sure if you come out to these meetings, your hearts will be blessed. Tonight, on the organ is our Sister Patty, Sister Rhonda on the piano, and choir director, our brother Julian Pinder. Please bear these meetings in mind and pray for them, and come and support them if you can. Right now, I'd like for us to turn to number 17. Number 17, He's Still the King of Kings. In the hills of Judea, the lone shepherds watch. Hope is gone, there is no call for singing. Number 17. Like to say a special thanks to Station Set and us for giving us this opportunity tonight of being on the air, and we trust that as we continue on with the service, that each heart will be blessed, those that are in the chapel tonight and those that may be listening by means of radio. Now the choir is coming with their last selection at this time. Thank you. Thank you, choir. That was good singing. Now, just before the message, let us turn to number 35. Number 35, wise men seeking Jesus traveled from afar, guided on their journey by a beauteous star. Number 35. Now, at this time, we're very happy to call on our brother and evangelist, Luton Neely, for the message the Lord has laid in his heart tonight. Brother Luton.
Thank you very much, Brother Graylin, and certainly a privilege to be here this evening and to address our radio audience and to those who are out there in radio land. It's a great privilege to bring this service to you from here in Spanish Wells. And I want to congratulate our brother Graylin Pinda for a very fine job done this evening. We trust that the Lord will be glorified through the singing that you've heard this evening and that this service truly will be a blessing as the Word of God is proclaimed and the message of Christ is preached not only to those who are gathered here but to the entire nation of the Bahamas. Now this evening I would like you to turn for a scripture reading to a very familiar passage. It has to do with God's dealings with man. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. My scripture is Romans 1, verse 18. We'll be reading through verse 32. The message is entitled, Has God Given Up on the World? We've just heard some very challenging singing. Wise men seek Jesus. Wise men still seek Him. There are those who have trusted in Him and they still talk to Him, whether it's by the North Sea or whether it's by the Bahamian Sea, because they've come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and they've been pardoned from their sins. And then we sang, He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And truly, regardless of what's happening in the world, with all the problems that are in this world, Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. But let's read about the condition of man and God's dealing with them from Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath shown it unto them, for the visible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, because that when God came and spoke to them, they turned their hearts from God. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now I'm sure the Lord will bless to our hearts this reading of his precious and holy word this evening. This passage of Scripture shows us how that man fell. It shows us how that man started very high and how that man condescended down to the very lowest of the depths of sin and debauchery. Paul begins by painting a very dark picture of man in his unregenerate state. But you see, even though there is this ugly picture painted by Paul, however much we would like to avoid it, it won't change it. It won't go away. However much I would like to say to people that they're nice and that those in their unregenerate state, somehow you could make it to heaven. However much I would like to say that, if I would like to say it, God's word says that that's not so. God's word says that that is not true. And the question this evening, I suppose, that has to be answered, has God given up on the world? Now, the section of Scripture which we have read this evening does not teach evolution. That is, that man started low and climbed high. But it teaches devolution. Man started high, and because of sin, man sank lower than the beasts, and that is where man is today. And there are four stages that mark man's tragic descent, devolution, going down. You see, human history begins with man knowing God. Man has always been searching for God. But you know, today we find that more and more people are turning away from God. Evangelist Rex Major, in his book, The Great Question of the Hour, Will We Turn Away from Christ? Rex Major lists three areas that we find this world turning away from God by. He lists first the nations are turning away from God. And he quotes, as incredible as it sounds, nevertheless, it is supported by solemn evidence. the highest organization of international authority on earth, the United Nations, comprise well over 150 nations, whose sole purpose is the promotion of unity and peace among earth dwellers, have agreed never to lift their hearts in prayer at any time while that august body is in session. This was agreed to after... Evangelist Rex Major, in his book, The Great Question of the Hour, Will We Turn Away from Christ? Rex Major lists three areas that we find this world turning away from God by. He lists first the nations that are turning away from God. And he quotes, as incredible as it sounds, nevertheless, it is supported by solemn evidence. The highest organization of international authority on earth, the United Nations, comprise well over 150 nations, whose sole purpose is the promotion of unity and peace among earth dwellers, have agreed never to lift their hearts in prayer at any time while that august body is in session. This was agreed to after the Soviet Union was accepted as a nation in that organization. He lists, secondly, the educational system, especially in the United States of America, is turning away from God. And he quotes, 300 years ago, a daring band of adventurers knelt on the rugged shores of the New World, and with clasped hands, humble hearts, and submissive wills, they prayed. They thanked God for a safe journey, for granting them a new land where they could build a nation on the solid principles of free worship, unmolested by papal persecution and governmental decrees which forbade them freedom of conscience and freedom of religion. The first public building was a place of worship. Their first institution of learning was a school where the young men were taught the rudiments of reading, writing, and speaking, specially to equip them to perpetuate and propagate the teachings of the Holy Bible. God honored their faith and devotion, and history has witnessed the fantastic growth of this tiny group to become in such a short time the most powerful, wealthy, and materially blessed nation in all the world. Yet today, that very nation has, because of the atheistic spirit of a minority of its citizens, removed from its public educational system a significant part of the heritage for which it came into being, the acquisition of the knowledge of the will of God through the Scriptures, the Book of God. And so now in the USA, it is considered unconstitutional to have the reading of the Bible and prayer in the public schools. Number three, churches are turning away. From the very pulpits erected to honor, worship, and show loyalty to Jesus Christ, clergymen from many religious denominations are making statements like these. We can no longer believe in a Christ who was virgin-born, a Christ who was sinless, a Christ whose bloody death can atone for sins, a Christ who literally rose from the dead. Instead, they strip him of all his robes of deity and leave him a mere man, a good man at the most. The question this evening is, will we accept him? Mr. Major lists man's greatest need when he says, we have sinned. This is the critical point. World War II Secretary of War Henry Simpson, after the tragedy of Hiroshima in 1945, when the atomic bomb was first used in war, reflected thus, the focus of the problem does not lie in the atom, but it resides in the hearts of men. Mr. Simpson makes it clear that we cannot buy our technical skills or our intellectual developments alone handle the atom and all that such power represents. Again, Albert Einstein, commonly known as the father of physics, pointed out in a letter to Sigmund Freud that it seems that man has in him the need to hate and destroy. Sigmund Freud, generally regarded as the father of modern psychology, has concluded, the truth is that men are not gentle, friendly creatures wishing for love, who simply defend themselves if they're attacked, but a powerful measure of desire for aggression has to be reckoned as a part of the instinctive environment. Sir Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, during World War II, in an address to the House of Commons in 1950, warned, "Man, in this moment of history, has emerged in greater supremacy over the forces of nature than has ever been dreamed of before. There lies before him, if he wishes, a golden age of peace and progress. All is in his hand. He has only to conquer his last and worst enemy. That enemy is himself. We have grasped the mystery of the atom," wrote the late five-star General Omar Bradley of the USA, "and rejected the Sermon on the Mount. The world has achieved brilliance without wisdom, power without success. Ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethnic infants. We know more about war than about peace, more about killing than about living." Justice William Berger was made a U.S. Supreme Court justice by Richard Nixon in 1969. And he addressed the American Bar Association in Houston, Texas on February the 8th, 1981. His topic was crime and punishment. And he made these observations about the American life. "Today, the proud American boasts that we are the most civilized, most prosperous, most peace-loving people. It leaves a bitter taste in our relations with other nations. Like it or not, today we are approaching the status of an impotent society whose capability of maintaining elementary security on the streets, in the schools, and for the homes of our people is in doubt. Are we not hostages within the borders of our self-styled, enlightened, civilized country? Accurate figures on the cost of home burglar alarms, of three locks on each door, and sadly of handgun sales for households are not available. But they run into hundreds of millions of dollars, and this is a civilized, enlightened society. We are facing the same type of problems with crime in our own country. Only a couple weeks ago, on Queen Street in Nassau, a very fine businessman, he and his wife, after being out for the evening getting into his car, saw a gun pointing at his head. And whatever the intruder said and whatever the robber said, no one knows. But moments later, the car was crashing into a giant tree, and the man was shot dead. And so it was, only a couple days ago, what Justice Berger and others have talked about. I happened to be in Miami, and I picked up the Miami Herald. The headlines that morning said, "Two dead police officers fatally shot, suspect captured in danger." The article read like this: "Two Metro-Dade police officers were killed with their own guns early Monday by a recently released convict who went crazy at a Northeast Dade trailer park, shot the officers, drove a police car to Hollywood, stole another car, and finally was captured in Dania. 'Don't shoot me,' Charlie Street, 34, begged three surprised Broward County Sheriff deputies who caught him hiding behind a tree on the Sterling Road median strip, 6.5 miles from the murder scene. The victims were Metro-Dade officers Richard Allen Bowles, 41, and David Streslowski, 34. Both wore bulletproof vests, but each was shot in the head. Street of Boynton Beach had been in prison for more than he had been out during the past 15 years. He was released from Martin Correctional Institution on November the 18th after serving 8 years of a 15-year sentence for attempted murder. Street has an arrest record more than 20 pages long. Police Officer Bowles was dead by the time the helicopter got to the scene. Each man was shot at least 3 times, doctors reported. They could see at once when they arrived that Officer Bowles was dead. Charles Whitehead, who is a columnist for the Miami Herald, wrote about that incident, and here's what he said: "We haven't begun to see the worst. It's epidemic mayhem. Perpetrators roam seemingly at large, the streets, their killing ground. Neither government nor social institutions have found remedies. Indeed, they seem helpless in the face of repeated horrors. Violence rages on. Police officers are the frequent targets. And we haven't begun to see the worst." The street rap The street's rap sheet goes like this. February the 1st, 1972, charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor. And the last incident, after 23 different incidents, was November the 28th, arrested after two Metro Dade police officers are shot to death in Northwest Dade. In between there, he's charged with assault on an officer, charged with battery, charged with burglary of a West Palm Beach jewelry store, charged with attempted murder, charged with aggravated assault, convicted of violating parole, convicted of assault, and the list goes on, and the man is on the street. And we're dealing with human beings who started high but came down. You see, man started, and one of the stages in man's history was the age and the stage of intelligence. In fact, the verses which we read this evening says that man started by knowing God. Man started by knowing God. And human history is not the story of a beast that worshipped idols and then evolved into a man worshipping one God. Human history is just the very opposite. Man began by knowing God, but turned from the truth and rejected God. Did God reveal himself to man? God certainly did that. God revealed himself to man on more than one occasion. We have heard the message this evening from the choir as they have sung, that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, man realized that there was a creator, and that this creator had eternal power. And these facts about God and his incarnation, the scripture says here, they are not hidden. Verse 20 says they are clearly seen. In fact, Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. But yet the scripture says in verse 18 that man continues to try to hold down or suppress the truth. In other words, man knows the truth about God. Man knew the truth about God, but they did not allow that truth to work in their lives. And even this evening, those who are listening to me, whether in the chapel here or whether out there in radio land, the problem with men and women who are outside of Jesus Christ is that they do not allow the truth to work in their lives. If the truth is given a chance, the Bible says, not me, the Bible says, the truth will set you free. In the Miami Herald, during that same period, I took a clipping out and it says, Bethlehem Christmas is canceled. The article went on to read like this, Bethlehem, Israel, the occupied West Bank. This Palestinian town where Jesus was born has canceled its traditional joyous Christmas celebrations in solidarity with the year-long revolt against Israeli occupation. It will be the second year in a row that the celebration has been curtailed. We don't see any reason to celebrate Christmas, Deputy Mayor Hannah Nasser said Monday. We have to show concern for our dead and for our detainees. More than 300 Palestinians have been killed and 5,000 arrested since the uprising began December the 8th, 1987, in the occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip, which Israel captured from Jordan and Egypt in 1967. 11 Israelis have been slain. 6 Palestinians from Bethlehem and surrounding refugee camps have been killed, and hundreds are among the more than 7,000 wounded. And yet, in spite of what the Palestinians are trying to do to Israel, there is a controversy tonight that surrounds the visit of Yasser Arafat, that murderer. George Shultz, who's one of the cabinet members of President Reagan, he's the Secretary of State, he made a decision not to grant Yasser Arafat a visa. Let him ask Israel for a visa. And when Israel grants him a visa, then ask America or England or the Bahamas or anywhere else. He is the reason why there is no Christmas in Bethlehem, no celebration of Christmas this year. That murderer, Yasser Arafat. And yet there are people who are standing up and who are wanting to defend Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat is one of the reasons for the violence in the Middle East. He's one of the reasons for the violence that we see in other parts of the world. And it's all because Yasser Arafat is no different from anybody else. He may think that he is some great leader, but he is no different in that he is a man and he needs to know God. The second area that man started in was the area of ignorance. And so man started with intelligence. He knew God. Then there was ignorance. Man knew God, but man didn't want to know God or honor him as God. He didn't want the moral code of God to register and to rule in his life. And so the Bible says man became unthankful. He refused to thank God. He refused to give God glory. And the Bible says that the chief end of man is that he might worship God and that he might live in peace with God and enjoy God forever, that he will honor God. That is the chief end of man. And as a result of man's unthankfulness, he didn't want to retain God in his mind. And so God says, okay, I'll take any thought of God away from your mind. But be very careful when you take the thought of God out of your mind that it's not filled with something else. The devil will put something in there. As a result, we saw in the scripture we read that man's mind became empty. His heart became darkened. His wisdom became empty. And Paul, writing in Acts 17 and 30, says, the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now, at this present time, ladies and gentlemen, whoever may be hearing me this evening, God requires, God demands that all men everywhere come to repentance. They must come and acknowledge God's glory, because without it, they are outside of God's blessing. Man must have God. Man needs a God. Man will worship some God. If he doesn't worship the true God, he will worship a false God, even if he has to manufacture one himself. And so we see from the passage of Scripture that man began to worship himself. He began to worship man. He became an idolater. Isn't that what was said in Genesis 3 and 5? If you take of the fruit, you will be as God. You'll be as God. But man descended so low. How low do you think man went? Even to worship birds and beasts and the creeping things of this world. That's how low man went. But the third area is indulgence. You see, from idolatry to immorality is just one short step. Isn't that what we are finding in this world tonight? So many people are obsessed with indulgence. For instance, there's a term that is used very freely today, and it's the term drug. It normally refers to a medication that is prescribed by a qualified physician to combat disease or relieve pain or to help bodily function. There is another term. That term is narcotic and actually comes from a Greek word that actually means to make numb. Narcotics are extremely useful in the medical field, but they are extremely dangerous when used other than according to the prescription of a qualified doctor. It is increasingly used among young people. Alcohol. 18 million Americans have serious drinking problems. 16 million alcoholics in the United States of America. Alcohol is the leading cause of death among young people between the age of 15 and 24. Time magazine claims that alcoholism claims tens of thousands of lives each year, ruins untold numbers of families, and costs $117 billion a year in everything from medical bills to lost work days. Cirrhosis of the liver kills at least 14,000 alcoholics a year. Drunk drivers were responsible for at least half of the 46,000 driving deaths on America's roads in 1986. The alcoholic has a life expectancy of 10 to 22 years. And 100 million Americans regularly consume alcohol. Alcohol was implicated in 70% of the 4,000 drowning deaths last year and about 30% of the nearly 30,000 suicides last year. 15,000 adults and 3,000 teenage suicides are recorded every year from alcohol. And the Department of Justice survey indicates that nearly a third of the nation's 523,000 state prison inmates drink heavily or drank heavily before committing burglaries, rapes, or assaults. You say, what is the problem? Why is there so much screaming about cocaine and all the other drugs and nothing about the drug alcohol? Well, it's because it's a socially accepted drink. We toast parties with that. And it seems like the neighborhood tavern is the place to go. You just watch the soap opera. It's where you meet the other woman. It's where you have a good time. It's there where you have your drinks, and it's a socially accepted thing. So the people who make the laws are not going to change that. As many as 45% of the country's more than 250,000 homeless are alcoholics. And they say this. They say alcohol is a disease. Now, when I speak about alcoholism, there is no country that has been affected more than the Bahamas. No country has been affected more than our Bahamas, my Bahamas that I love. Yet I see alcohol reaping havoc in the lives of so many. They say it's a disease. Let me tell you what heaven says. It's a moral sin. And it's contracted by man's will. Man decides that he's going to have that drink. Have you ever noticed, if you're listening to the radio sometime, how that there are so many commercials? Or if you pick up your daily paper, I did an exercise just the other day because I was thinking of this message, and I said, let me buy the two daily papers. And so one of the daily papers, I went over to the sports section. Now, this is the section where all the young men are going to pick up. A lot of people here may not like the sports, but there are some young men here who like the sports. And there are other young men out there and other young people who want to know whether Michael Thompson scored last night, how many points he scored, how many rebounds he had, how many minutes he played. And when the baseball games are being played, they want to know what the Dodgers did and what the Yankees did. And when the football games are played on Sunday, they want to know the scores of the Dolphins or the Raiders or whoever their team is. And so they turn to the sports section. And I found that one of the new alcoholic drinks that's coming on the market, if you listen to the radio, you'll find that there's one, and this is the name of it. If you only listen to the radio or turn to the paper, you can see it. In fact, there's a commercial that's very catchy. It goes like this. Got a new beer, like no other beer. It's a winner. Any hour. Tastes just right. Gives you power. Makes you feel real nice. Give me the vigor. Give me the feeling. Come on over. The Great Bahamian Beer. No such thing as a Great Bahamian Beer. It destroys lives. And then there's one that's a saint. I guess you knew that, right? There's one beer that they call a saint. And maybe that's why so many people like it. They call it a saint. That's the first letter in the name. That was out of one newspaper. I clipped three articles, three advertisements, and they carry quarter page to one half page ads. It's sad that there are so many bar rooms all over the place. In fact, someone said the other day, it's a bar room for every church. It's a bar room for every church. And it's very sad that we seem to have accepted it. The other evening, watching the Lakers, the LA Lakers, like to watch Michael Thompson, Brother DeWitt Thompson's son and good friend of mine. And so I guess it was about 11:30 and the Lakers were playing in Inglewood, California. That's their home. They call it the Fabulous Forum, the place where they play. They are the world champions. I guess you know that. Trust that doesn't affect anybody who's listening. But they were hosting a team named the Utah Jazz. And at halftime, the Lakers were in getting some more instructions, and they were resting. And one of the color announcers, he brought out the coach of the other team, and he interviewed him. He was his guest at halftime. He's a colorful coach. He's a big guy. You can't miss him if you're looking at the teams anytime. And their discussion centered around one of the star players on the Jazz. Because this season, this particular player is a superstar. He's everywhere. He's doing everything. He's a small guy. His name is Jim Stockton. I'll never forget the final comment as the coach sang the praises of his unsung hero. I grabbed my pen and I wrote it down. Here's what he said. He said he's Irish. He's Catholic. His father owns a bar. And then he said joyfully and gleefully, does it get any better than that? Sorry, coach. That's not the recipe for successful living. Yet, there are many thousands of young people who are watching and listening to that coach. And they're picking up our newspapers. And they're listening to the sports on radio. And the thing that they're hearing is that some beer will make them happy. It'll make them strong. You drink it, you'll have more vitality, more vigor. You'll be younger. Whatever it might say. And these are the things that we're having to confront in the world today, because man has gone to the stage of indulgence. And so it is with the drugs. We don't have time to talk about illegal drugs. And yet the problem is this. Man is his own God. Man has begun to worship himself and not the Creator. And man is in a state worse than when he came into the world. You see, self-indulgence leads to a vileness, a sinfulness. And he talks about homosexuality. And that is a problem that we have to face in the world today. In fact, one of the things that scares so many people, I heard one of the men who are in charge of the World Health just the other day say that in a very short time there will be 1 million AIDS patients in this world. 1 million AIDS patients. And much of this come through promiscuity. Man thinking that he can treat his body as he pleases when God has laid down certain guidelines for man. And the last stage was this, impenitence. See, when man began to feel the tragic consequences of his sins, you would think he would repent and seek God. But just the very opposite was true. Because he was abandoned by God, he could only become worse. He didn't even want to retain God in his knowledge. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a depraved mind. And tonight, there are many people listening to me. There are many people out there who have a depraved mind. Oh, I trust that God hasn't given up on this world. In fact, I believe that he willeth not the death of one sinner, but that all would come to repentance. If you're out there this evening and you don't know Jesus Christ, I trust that you will give your heart to him right now. I'm going to ask that you bow your head here in the audience. And we want to thank God for this privilege this evening. And I want you to bow your head, and I want to give an opportunity to some who may be here to receive Jesus Christ. And out there in radio land, I want to give you the opportunity wherever you may be, in that taxi, in that prison. You might be in the hospital. You might be there at home on one of the family islands. And you can bow your head right now and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ will make you his very own. And I wonder here in our audience, is there one who will raise their hand and say, Brother Neely, pray for me. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I know where I am. I had a knowledge of God, but I have not retained that knowledge of God. I wonder if there's one who will raise the hand. And we'll pray for you. Give us a chance to have a word with you. Out there in radio land, wherever you may be, you just bow your head and bow your heart right now. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and save you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for thy word this evening. We dearly thank thee for this privilege. We thank thee for all those, our Father, out there in radio land who have been listening to the program this evening. We pray, Father, that they might realize that without Christ there is no hope. They might realize that institutions have failed, governments have failed, and they have failed. People have rejected Jesus Christ. The only hope is Jesus Christ. He is the reason for the season, that he came to Bethlehem as a babe. He's the man of Calvary. Oh, we pray, Lord, that you'll bless your word. Speak to many hearts, we pray. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.